Let's begin our discussion of what Jesus had to say in Mark, the fourth chapter. There's this wonderful parable that Jesus teaches about a sower who went out to sow. And the ultimate goal of this parable is for us to hear the word and to bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, some even 100-fold. We're familiar with the parable, and we know very well that the sower is the one that sows the word. And I've made the point on a number of occasions, if a sower threw seed there, he wanted to throw seed there. Some of that seed fell on the path. It was gobbled up by the birds, didn't amount to anything. Some of it fell on rocky ground, didn't have much root, couldn't persevere, didn't amount to anything. Some of that seed, it says, fell among the thorns, the cares, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things choked the word, and it proved to be unfruitful. Farmers never waste seed. If the farmer threw some seed over where there were thorns, he knew what he was doing. And Carol made a point, the ultimate seed sower, of course, is God. He puts the seed where he wants the seed to go. And the seed will always do what the farmer intended for the seed to do. It will always do what seeds do. Now, you know, this morning, Mark was talking about being a gardener. And his yard looks beautiful. He has these areas where he has a garden, and he has areas where he has fruit trees. You're going to look at my yard. I have an area where I have grass, and I have an area where I have weeds. And unfortunately, the two have mingled themselves together. I'm not very good about being able to put the seed where I want the seed to go. But understand, in this case, it wasn't persecution like we talked about last week. The awful persecution that some of those people faced and the persecutions that we faced, it wasn't the persecution that kept the seed from really producing anything. In this case, it was ease. The seed was where it could grow. And it was the thorns and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that choked the seed. Persecution, in my mind, might be easier for us to resist because it's blatant. If somebody says, if you confess Christ, I will throw you in jail, that might make it easier to see the difference between people who confess Christ and people who hate Christians. But ease is not inherently sinful. Riches are not sinful. The cares of this world are not sinful. Remember what the Apostle Paul said when he talked to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 7. He said, a married woman cares for the things of her husband, how she may please her husband. An unmarried woman, on the other hand, only cares for the things of God. Does that mean that there's something wrong with a married woman caring for the things of her husband? Not at all. That's what God intended. Ease is not inherently sinful. And that makes it hard to resist. It's just as dangerous, but it makes it hard to resist. Sometimes harder to resist than persecution. farmer allows the tares and the thorns to grow among the wheat or the good seed. Remember the other parable that Jesus taught about the farmer that sowed his field and the tares grew up and the servants came to him and they said, should we pull out all of the weeds? Should we pull out the tares? He said, no, let them all grow together till the day of judgment. And in the harvest, I'll separate. Weeds grow. And sometimes we're going to see weeds even among those that are Christian. They're growing and producing seed. The good seed that he sowed was still good seed. And it still produced a plant. Remember, the problem is the plant was unfruitful. It wasn't that there was no plant. That happened in the past. It wasn't that it was dead. It just wasn't bearing any fruit. And I have a feeling that's an important lesson for me to learn. It's not that I'm dead. It's not that I gave up on God. It's not that I don't listen to God at all. But it could be that I'm not bearing any fruit. And if that's the case, then I know how Jesus views plants that don't bear any fruit. Remember, he told another parable. He talked about the fruit tree that the vineyard owner came and he looked at that tree and he said, it's not bearing any fruit, cut it down. The man that was taking care of the vineyard said, well, let me dumb around it. Let me see if I can get it to come back. And if it's still, after a year of me taking care of it, if it still won't bear any fruit, then we'll cut it down. And why did they cut it down? Because the owner of the ground said, it's just cumbering the ground. It's just taking up space. You don't benefit from having a lot of weeds. You don't benefit from having plants that don't bear any fruit. So what are the lessons I can learn from all of this? Don't try to keep one foot in the world and one foot bearing fruit for Jesus. It won't work. You'll be a miserable Christian, and you'll be equally miserable as a person in the world. Don't try to live in both worlds. Riches deceive. Good seed never deceives. There's nothing deceptive about what we do as Christians. I used to sell life insurance. I've done a lot of things during the time that I was a preacher. And preachers don't make a lot of money, and so I was supplementing my income. And one of the things I did was I sold life insurance. One of the first things they tell you when you start selling life insurance is, don't sell it like it's life insurance. You have to have a deceptive way of selling it. Sell it like it's an investment, because that sounds a lot better. People will invest. Nobody wants to put money aside so that their family is taken care of if something perchance happened to them and they pass away. So be deceptive. I know a lot of Christians who are deceptive about the way that they present the gospel. That's not the sower sowing good seed. Weeds are deceptive. Evil is deceptive. Ease is deceptive. The good seed's never deceptive. We don't do a bait and switch. The farmer never did. Good seed does not deceive. But understand, when the good seed has to compete with the thorns and the brambles, it won't bear any fruit. Matthew Allen wrote what I thought was just a wonderful piece that I captured and put it on the back of the bulletin this morning about just one thing. Having just one thing that animates us, one thing that keeps us going, one thing that informs the way that we live our life. It can't be multiple things. Good seed bears no fruit when it competes with thorns and brambles. And understand, you can't serve two masters. Maybe that's one of the famous statements that Jesus made. No man can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll love the one and hate the other. No man can serve God and men. It can't be done. We tend to think that the warnings don't apply to us. I tend to think, yes, I need to worry about prosperity because prosperity can be a trap and it can pull people away from God. But I can be prosperous and I know how to manage it and it won't pull me away from God. You need to think carefully about those things. I can't serve two masters. As much as I think I can, I can't. Does that mean that you have to divorce yourself from everything about the life that you now live? No, doesn't mean that at all. The early Christians didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. But I can't let those things become as important to me as the good seed. I won't be successful. I've been reading a lot recently about the things that are important to people. And one of the things that they asked people was, what would happen if you didn't have your phone? Could you give up your phone for a week? Got mine in my pocket. And it rang during the worship, during the songs this morning. And Jerry let me know that the songs weren't being shared, so we were able to correct it. These devices have a great usefulness. Understand the usefulness. I read my Bible on my device. Maybe you do too. Could you give it up for a week? It's been said that our God is the thing without which we would be most miserable. If you left your Bible in the pew, would you miss that as much as you miss your phone? Would you call me on Monday and say, Dean, I think I left my Bible in the pew. Can you go check, make sure it's there? Have you ever called somebody, like maybe Carol, and said, I think I left my phone at the building. Would you mind running across the street and checking to see if I left my phone in the building? We need to think about where our priorities are. Ease, the cares of this world, can easily choke out bearing fruit for God. Don't let it happen. You know, we're not talking, I'm not talking to a group of people that are gathered here that are hearing about the gospel for the first time. Most of the people that are in this assembly have put on Christ, and they have taken upon themselves the need to grow and to bear fruit. It may be that you haven't borne fruit, and you want to do that desperately. Return to God. Put the things away that are getting in the way. And we want to help you. Repent. Pray. Talk to God about your situation. He wants you to bear seed. That's why he sowed it there. It may be that you never put on Christ. You've never gotten started on this road. And we want to help you to do that, too. You can put him on in baptism this morning if that's what your desire is. But we want you to think about it.